stories to listen to everybody else's stories and to get totally lost. None of this no story, don't believe anything crap. You just dive in and you just totally immerse yourself in bullshit. It's good. It was fun.
It's better.
It was so normal.
Yeah, there's no, you know, I mean, there's, if you set up a rule that says no story, mm-hmm. you know, you may just leave. What's the point?
That's just as big a bullshit as...
Everything is.
Yeah.
What rule could you possibly impose on yourself? Plus, that's, you're not going to follow it anyway.
That's what happens a lot in PW with Byron Katie, is like, you set up these, like, hours and hours with people where the rules are no story.
Is it true?
Yeah, and you get a lot of people for, like, playing the no story game. And that's different than really seeing that the stories aren't true.
Different.
Way different.
Yeah, as in night and day or something worse than that.
Yeah,
I fell into that trap just 20 minutes ago.
What was that?
Oh, I didn't get into story. But the story was there.
Yeah, it's there inside. You're just not putting it out of your mouth.
I just didn't invest in it. So I just reframed it.
Yeah.
So you had some fun. You made the best of it. Was your mom nice to you?
No. Giant puppy.
I just thought maybe something strange might have happened.
That would be strange.
That would be strange.
I don't see any bruises or blood.
It's just like a five-year-old.
Yeah. No, all
was
the
your mom nice to you?
All the cuts and sores are mostly psychic.
Yes, I know. I know this well.
For a day, one day they took it away from me. Yeah. No puppy, and my mom was nice to you.
I should be a serial offender of some kind.
You are. You
yes.
What are you
talking
about?
Cheerios.
You kill everything you say.
Yeah.
We're thrilled you're the serial offender that you are.
Yeah, we're glad you didn't have a puppy to secure. This might be happening probably.
You can feel the difference between, what would you call it, your presence. That's non-assuming. And your presence that, you know, has a story to tell. That's very simple. That's not, you know, thousands of years in a cave.
The story to tell usually leaves some stickiness to it. There's a residue that lingers after you live in story for a while.
Well, before the residue, the presence, your presence, whatever that is, I mean, you know, I don't know. But whatever we're referring to that suggests or points to your presence, right? That this is so, that suchness is, has a certain kind of feeling. It has a texture. There's a quality of recognition or inhabiting, in a manner of speaking, your present experience without assumption, without advantage.
I think that's why we come
to
this.
Or, this is so or advantage. Yeah.
That's why this is so attractive. Because
okay.
There's a stronger invitation to that than you find any place else where it's all full of story, myself included.
As we become acquainted with the gift, right? The unearned gift, though miraculously a nonstop present presence. And not to get all Eckhart Tolle on this, you know. That's why I don't like to use the word so much, you know. We fetishize right so quickly. Because presence is not it's not anything. But if you use the word too frequently, then you've turned an opening, a not knowing, into something you can occupy. And the moment you can occupy a thing, right, you're back in the imagination of temporality. And the imagination of temporality, you could say, is the light switch for story.
you know, I was thinking about that, and I kind of like, it's usually temporal terms, but they sort of negate each other, the eternal moment, in which, you know, it's, I don't know, somehow it works. Because you just say the moment, you think, the moment in time. You know?
Yeah. We won't even mention the holy instant.
Oh,
you recognize that?
Of course.
Oh, I didn't say that, did I?
Any see how quickly, as in with no time elapsed, this becomes something. We can say story, but that's just a metaphor. It's not real. We could say identification with suchness. That's another kind of a metaphor. It's not real. Whatever awareness is, your capacity to look, one's capacity to feel, the remarkable abstraction of feeling whatever this is or isn't, and learning something about it, noticing something about it.
Do you feel like that could be noticing the story? I mean, so the story has a perfect place.
Yes, why not? Of course it does. Besides, if the story has occurred, you're too late. Right, you can't do a recall on the email of yourself.
But there can be more of a watching from a distance than a being swept up into it.
Well, we're playing around with introducing the feeling, which is a quality of observation, not a sentimentality, of being somewhat distant, or contrary to that, being profoundly intimate with what's right now. You can use either word. They're both, you know, they both evoke, don't they?
You know, I don't know, maybe this is an oddity for me, but I actually have this sensation, I mean, this brain.
Yes, you will.
You know, that there's this. You know, it's just this openness. I don't know. As opposed to driving down the line of logic or story.
As the rainbow body relaxes, then the rainbow body is a metaphor that suggests the observation that as, call it the locus of awareness, and there is none, which is curious enough to see, that the locus of awareness relaxes from consumption, assertion, justification, assessment, right? As the reflex of frames of reference deeply relax, these, call them somatic, noticings are going to occur. Yeah.
There was a time when I was doing a lot of meditation, and the sense I had as I sat and sat was all about this. Like, everything was coming from up top. And I kind of recognized it, and I don't know what I did, but I definitely recognized it was all here. I was like, yeah, that's typical, but not what I was...
Going to texture, going to feeling, which is the atmosphere, the auric atmosphere of you. The auric atmosphere of your presence will reveal all kinds of delight. As you feel with your entirety, not just through the right conundrum of the neocortex. So let's say we become adroit, flexible, right? We can do
an all-knees limbo at 6 inches. We can go right under that bar. Right? You become acquainted with your own diffuse, open, miraculous, serendipitous nature. That's different than making a commitment about what I'm going to do or how I'm going to behave or what I'm going to recall spiritually. Right?
But it might still become more enjoyable than your preference, maybe more for that or the other in some way. It's not like a rule, but it just spontaneously kicks in because you're like, this is fun. Why would I want to go to the other team?
What? Right. Of course. When I might report on being less interested, less reflexively indulgent in storytelling, that has come about not by virtue of one's commitment, right, or a sticky note on the fridge, or a vow. That comes about because the texture of you, unencumbered, is loud enough that you say, so long, farewell, avida zane, good night. I am not going into anecdotal hysteria when I can enjoy myself unencumbered. Right?
Yep.
Nothing else is going to talk anyone in or out of anything.
Unless.
Right?
Unless the hysteria is also very powerful and immersive and not necessarily unpleasant.
No question.
Well, there's some reward to hysteria. It's nice and distracting. You get some perks for it. I've seen that.
Let's say as an inner lucidity occurs, which is no longer no thanks and whoopee, right? Then that inner lucidity can traverse all mood state.
And so
with,
it becomes an appearance just like any other appearance.
Yes, with absolute unencumbrance. Yeah. Sure. The story of the Tibetan master who loses his son and is weeping at the funeral, and a sincere devotee says, "Master, why are you weeping?" Right? You know, I thought you're teaching us this is a dream. It's only a dream. And the master just says, "Well, this is the most painful in the dream you can have." Right? So the inner landscape, the inner elasticity will say of your consciousness, but there is no your consciousness. You see how easy we convert this suchness into my consciousness, my experience, my preferences, my choices, my value systems, my takeaway, my vulnerability, my invulnerability, right? It's faster than fast. I mean, it's not even fast. It's comes with. You can't outwit identification with permutation as self. It's too fast. Hard to say. It's too difficult to attempt to define what the so-called mechanism is of this suchness becoming profoundly aware of itself unencumbered. The metaphoric awakening of your rainbow body to more subtle and diffuse appreciation of presence itself. And then the remarkable journey of dismantling or disengaging from anecdotal hysteria to sit in your asana. And it's not an either-or, as Pat suggested. Sitting in your asan doesn't mean, well, nice to meet you, but I don't do story anymore. Right? Well, that would be contrite. Right? Your asan is, I don't know, perturbable, imperturbable, vulnerable, invulnerable, transcendent, non-transcendent. Who cares?
But it might look trained.
It could.
Maybe you do that.
It could. Why not? But that's where the discovery has to be firsthand. I mean, you know, the church would try to tell you what and how to believe and feel. So does the synagogue. So does the mosque. So does nearly everything and everyone impose upon you or solicit you into how you're supposed to feel and think and behave and do and not do. And they do this by convincing you that it's for your own good. And it's profound to be done with that.
You know, on our way up, we were just reflecting on some things. And the one that I think I mentioned before, somebody had put his hand on that, are you good?
Yes.
And it said, well, you know, by all these scriptures, it's like, thank you. You suck. You're really bad. And this is, but, yeah, but this is what you can do about it. And but it's all, well, it's all the specifics.
I'll take it because I might get a non just for kicks.
If they weren't so specific about the way out, well, we're not on different paths, but they're like Jesus Christ leaves for earth and Easter. It's like, but if you just accept,
I would think that's what Jesus had in mind. Relax.
I had a procession.
Completely.
A Jesus procession go by 3 times yesterday. It was so loud. It was not relaxed. It was insane.
Where is that?
Down my road.
What do you mean procession?
Who were they? What was it?
A procession of people. I don't know. They were speaking in Polish. Jesus? They were dressed up like Jesus.
A Polish Jesus
procession. Singing holy songs.
Wow. That's unusual.
I think so. I mean, it looked like Jesus to me.
Did you say, oh, Jesus?
How do you say in Polish? I think they're going to be digging shallow graves here soon.
Oh, so it's like, do you mean like David Bowie or?
Sorry for that. So I brought this up before. I'm so sorry, because I always am repetitive. But.
We so much appreciate your apology.
The idea of selfing could be related to it, what is, in my opinion, the no thing trying to see itself.
Sure.
And so you get confused.
We do get confused.
No.
Yeah.
It's like, it seems to be, to me, attempting to gain a knowledge or an experience.
Right.
And we're just a little particles.
There's something appealing when you see something in life that shows a expansiveness that sort of reveals it. In contrast to something else, we saw a movie last night. What was the name of it? It's always in trouble. The Stories We Tell. Has anybody seen it? It's a documentary.
Is it good?
Amazing. I got it.
I never had time to watch movies, but I read them.
But the difference is, so this person is telling a story. She ended up she was an illegitimate child. She found out because of their mother had it. And so she's actually exposing everybody. She's interviewing everybody involved. Her mother had died, but everybody else is alive. Mm-hmm. Interviewing everybody what they knew. And her real father is like, I don't really want to be engaged with this because, you know, this is, you know, everybody has their own truth, you know, and there is really only one truth, and you're going to screw it up, basically.
That's interesting.
But her father, that she always treated as her father, wasn't military, was like, he was the one that actually wrote the whole thing out, most of it. And it was just so interesting to see this one congealed side. And he finally landed, allowed himself to be interviewed. But it was this openness for this dialogue and all these people. This just made it an open movie, you know, just a sort of a went beyond the story.
Did it conjecture there is no truth in anything, really? That it was all just,
you know,
disfragmented
that's an
bits?
Undertone of it. So,
I would think so.
It wasn't that correct. But you could just see it was so moving.
So here's the hijacking.
Yeah.
Right? here's how you go from objectifying your own realization by pointing to it elsewhere, then referring to a movie which evoked a memory of some kind of openness as the justification for telling us all about the movie.
Yeah.
Which is,
there's no doubt.
But see, look at what it is that you. Well, there you go. So it might be more honest to say, "Hey, I want to tell you about a movie," rather than
lead up to the last.
Well, then use convenient bright pointers, which then permit you to drift into storytelling.
I think I did want to tell you about the movie, but I did want to tell you about
just tell us about the movie without trying to justify the impulse by saying, oh, woo, 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 which then shifts the attention over to your ultimate satisfaction.
That's what I thought is
thank you so much.
The opening of the movie, you know, I'm like, well, why is this so good? You know? And to me, that's the greater point. Why it's so good is because it's just so totally human. It's not trying to get any conclusion.
Like as in when you watch the movie or now?
I guess when I watch
it. More importantly than now. Well, this is a very charming habit, right, that we all possess, right? Hijacking attention, and I don't mean hijacking in a pejorative or, you know, shameful manner.
I do it all the time.
Right?
Yeah.
Look at your own consciousness. You're being hijacked all the time. And we habituate to it. We become complacent with it. We presume it to be the default, the de facto condition. So we do the best we can with it, which is to dwell in our own anecdotal hysteria, because we just take the hijacking for granted as a default. And then, of course, we spew, right, the serotonin thirst for a different feeling by then cavorting with and imposing upon everyone else's attention so that I can do what it is that I really want to do, which is tell you about a movie, right? And we're all doing this all the time, whether internally or in, right, dialogue. But for fun, look at the impulse. What was the impulse? Was the impulse to evoke a present feeling?
To
reminisce about a prior feeling? Just to satisfy one's own, you know, charming persona to tell about a movie?
Is there's an insight that struck me.
Let's try again. What was the insight?
The expansiveness of just not holding a particular viewpoint at truth, but allowing all viewpoints to come together and reveal.
So that's a fun conveyance, which is different than leapfrogging into telling us about a movie. And the movie was great too, and of course, thanks for the recommendation. I'm not suggesting we should, stop reviewing or talking about movies. I mean, movies, movies are the shit. Yeah.
If he revels in telling the story, I would tell it. And fuck the rest of this.
Get out of my wave.
That's where you want to be.
That's right.
You know?
Sure. Yep.
Maybe I'm becoming hedonistic.
Good. When it comes to awake, I think hedonistic is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you end up with an anal asshole.
Well, you just end up distracted. Pleasing, right? Pleasing others, maybe. Mm-hmm. Your present experience is the sole event. Hmm. We're all operating hedonistically. We can't help it, right? Your bacterial and viral imperative, the one that's lit up and live in you, is the only one. Can you pass the half and half this way? Thank you.
I mean, look at Francie's hand, taking that cup and spinning it around. I mean, you want to talk about abilities? We're given amazing stuff, just pretty normal stuff. To make a robot that could take a cup
and spin it around. Do it. That's like huge.
Mm-hmm.
On its own, anyway.
Mm-hmm. You're given amazing shit. These bodies are pretty cool. So they go.
Yes, what? Oh, cream coming back.
But here's another aspect to the reflex of hijacking, which might be worth looking at. Rather than succumb to the moment, I'd rather reminisce about the possibility of feeling it differently through an intermediary. Like, hey, I'm not awake now, but let me tell you about this movie I saw when I felt awake because of the openness. There's no openness now because I have to fulfill the impulse of telling you about a movie that talks about some openness I had some other time. Right? Well, one occupies the imagination of time in one's consciousness, which we can miraculously do. And by doing that, that's the cutting edge. Yes? The moment that you participate in the miraculous capacity for evoking temporality, You're in story. You're in self. You're in a childlike, right, serotonin fulfillment loop. Someone, namely you, has tipped you off your asan. And you're back in time. Absolutely. Cow tipped. Once again. I'm not saying that's good or bad, but you'd have the capacity, you have the intelligence to notice it. That's what's important. You can actually see the curious manner in which the radiant nature of consciousness convinces itself of time. Convincing itself of time is synonymous with convincing itself of self. It's not first this, then that. You see? Right? So, not that that's a point, because there are none. But metaphorically, if this present moment is the locus for how you're relating to it, go check in. Are you knowing something? Are you fulfilling an impulse? Right? Are you signing up once again from moment to moment as self in time? Or not that? And I can't say what not that is. That has to be your discovery. How could it be conveyed? Right?
There seems to be an infinite number of ways.
At least that many.
And one thing is there's sort of a change. There's a this change in acceptance or a feeling tone or what have you. Having seen something that's sort of amazing, you know, and there's so much in life, you know.
You mean seeing something other than now that's sort of amazing?
I'm not saying seeing a good art or a sunset.
Yes.
A movie, that has a particular twist to it.
Or your breakfast.
Right. And that change in feeling is worth...
But see, again, you're reporting on it, which is a safe distance. Right? Drop the microphone, resign from the news station, stop reporting on it. Right? You hire yourself as the on-the-street broadcaster. And this is one clever way that any of us participate in deferral, in minimization, in non-intimacy. Because we immediately take the role of being a reporter.
If there's the remembrance of, I would use the word download, that was appreciated and at this time understood that it is not at this moment being experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, it's like a prodding. If it's a download, which is how it struck me, you have a download.
Yeah.
And I've experienced that, and then you know that such an experience is possible, and you also know when such an experience is not current. So there's a
That's
contrast that you're aware of.
When you do a GI series with contrast, right? It's so you can see stuff, and you see stuff by virtue of the contrast. So, yes, you can apply that to your present experience.
Just
do an MRI on yourself right about now.
Bouncing it off the walls. You focus being the walls. Kind of adds another dimensionality to it, but yes, it is adding.
But this is a challenge And it's a good challenge. It's a healthy, vital challenge. We are safe, emotionally and psychologically safe, by being reporters. And we've learned how to navigate the madness of our childhood, the madness of our upbringing and conditioning, the madness of our own internal atmosphere, to be safe or unaccountable. I didn't do it. We bail out or get away from any accusation that could be made about us where there might be harm, right? Behavioral imposition, abuse of some kind from a parent, from a sibling, from a friend in the sandlot. So one of the ways that we protect ourselves, which is to become non-intimate, is that we fulfill the role of reporting upon. And then we create hypothetical and abstraction and what ifs, or what happened yesterday or in the future. And this is how we avoid presence.
It's kind of like
the
reporter.
He's actually yearning for the return of that experience, not, right?
I don't know.
You have to
ask him.
As opposed to trying to avoid.
Well, recognize it.
What is it about now that is somehow less than what was evoked in your recognition while watching the film?
Well,
okay, thank you. Nothing. Unless you or one, right, creates it. Unless we create it. Which is what you experienced this morning about, hey, you know what? I don't need to share. I don't need to tell a story. I don't need to occupy the imagination of myself, make it public, which is, right, socially and politically correct, and then create a fantasy of myself that now other people are holding.
Or even redirect anything.
Or even any, yeah, right. Right. So we're returning to the curious, call it conception point. Where already present awake appears to become something other than that. And then I sign up for a SIG retreat.
For a what?
SIG retreat. Or whatever I sign up for, right? I sign up because I've convinced myself that this is not as good as that. Feel it. Play with it. Because a so-called awake is not an acquisition. It's not a destination. It's not a graduation. There's no certificate. There is no such thing, even. Because if this is this, you don't have to run around saying, I'm awake. What would be the point? Or
to be above other people.
Well, to go to a group of people and say, I don't seek anymore. Which is a kind of a clever way of saying, I'm awake and you're not, because I stopped seeking and you've come to this goddamn retreat to hear me tell you that I've stopped seeking, but you're still here seeking.
Sure's the point. You can make money on it. If you're good at it.
Fair enough.
You can sell it.
Yeah.
Give awake to a marketer, that makes a
money. Well. Consciousness, what we call consciousness or mind, cannot do anything other than commoditize itself.
Isn't that where we get the idea of self from?
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Consciousness can't do anything other than commoditize itself.
I think what's fascinating is that commodity changes so profoundly as you get older. The invitation gets stronger and stronger to perhaps see beyond it. because the commoditization of what you've identified with all your life starts to really change. And you try to hold on to it, and it just doesn't hold anymore. It doesn't hold like it used to.
Right.
Assuming you're still living in past and future. And
well, that's another news report. Right? And, of course, we all have them, and they're great. You know, tell the news. But that's, you see how that's a commoditization of absolute hysteria. And I don't mean hysteria as going crazy. Hysteria as untrue.
I'm the one that's changing.
Yeah, or that you think something is even happening here that's worth noticing or reporting upon as something that occurs as I get older. As if you were born in the first place and now you're older than that. You're not. You're not older. Nothing happened to you. Get used to it.
Appearances happen, right?
Appearances appear to happen. This becomes intimate, it has to become intimate, as we, let's say, agree to, or run from the table, what this feels like, and to observe how this commoditizes itself. On the spot, in your consciousness, in your experience, how you frame and therefore elucidate what you think is happening to you. Or to the species, or to consciousness, or to people that no longer seek.
Isn't there the expression of the emptiness and the fullness and the duality of our experience which causes an appearance?
Yeah.
And the appearance is just as valid as the nothing.
No, that's not happening. None of that. Now you're a news reporter on LSD. I love the news.
I always feel like
WLSD.
Duality is
KLSD.
Essential to the... It's the contrast.
There is no contrast. No. See, there really is no contrast.
Well, I agree, because essentially it's the blank canvas.
But it's not. There's no contrast, so you can't call it anything. The moment you call it the blank canvas, you're going to go running in search of the canvas that has your name on it.
But that would be, really stupid.
We are pretty damn stupid. High five on the we are stupid, yeah. Shout out. We are really stupid.
Let's all hold hands and sing.
Yeah, let's sing Kumbaya. But first, let's take hallucinogenic substances.
But that's why, see, I'm looking for...
There's no why. There's no that's why. There's really not.
Being the blank canvas.
Yeah. Good luck with that. With the blank canvas.
Which we can't see or know.
There's no we.
Which can't be seen or known.
By whom?
By divine canvas.
It's unconcerned.
Does it know what a blank canvas is?
But this stuff that is appearing...
The stuff that's appearing...
Is...
There's nothing appearing unless you start insisting on it. Or one starts insisting on it. Yeah. Take two of these and call me in the morning.
I think she just put up the white flag.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Are you crazy?
I would pay money for those.
You guys can pay money for my time.
Nice. We will. Breakfast is on me.
Very intelligent, very remarkable. She
said, you can't give up something that you never had.
Wow.
But I wonder, so people will say, you know, they're going to give up money, they're going to just give up that.
Give me their numbers. The ones that are going to give up their money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't have money to give up.
Oh, they don't? I don't want to call them that.
They're going to give up their money, they're going to give up all their worldly possessions, but probably not to not many.
Which imagines to debt.
You're going to go to the Ashram in India or someplace.
Really?
And
get amoebic dysentery and call it a day.
Oh, I've done it.
You've done it.
India.
You recommend it. Yeah, every orifice I have leaks explosively without warning. Yeah, I can't wait to try that on.
That sounds so romantic.
Yeah.
I think I'll take California. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, good breakfast.
Yeah. I'm on the edge. So, how does that fit into your schematic?
I don't have a schematic, but fit it in anywhere you like.
Sounds to me like it's a person that thinks they're a person doing something that's going to get the person something. People do things for a reason. Everything I do seems to be for a reason. People that think they're a person does everything for a reason.
And even if you don't.
Even not doing things is usually for a reason. And yet that reason or that story is kind of removed from the fact that it is. You can tell yourself a story, but that's different than... It's trying to make sense of what you can't make sense of, I guess. This does, this is, and you can't make sense of it, but you can tell a hell of a lot of stories about it.
Temporality, self, objectification happens profoundly, miraculously, spontaneously, creatively. And it can sound like, it can be very evocative.
Now for the dance interlude.
And then you get the applause.
Yay!
It's an interesting conversation, at least I think it is, when we discover what it's like to be sufficiently intimate that I'm not investing in a litany of self. That I'm not feeling this or attempting to convey this through the imagination of temporality or consequence or justification or reason, motive.
We got some Phil Collins of crisis. This is what immediacy will do to you. Oh, Gabriel, that's it. That's it.
I usually admire the fact that he can keep going when there's good songs on in the background. He's talking of like.
I think the words to the songs come in and they highlight what the hell is happening here frequently.
Yes.
Frequently. And
well, that's usually like picks up on it. I'm like, I can't, I'm just singing a song.
Okay,
I can't. I'm like,
I got one for you. I got a number for you. I keep on wanting to argue with this thing, you know? How do you explain synchronicity?
Yeah.
You know? Like, how do you explain that?
Even you couldn't take that yes seriously. Yeah.
If the reflex of reporting is absent from your present experience, there's nothing but synchronicity. Why explain it? the entirety of phenomenal expression within the purview of your present experience is pure, unadulterated synchronicity.
You said that and the light bulb went on and I looked up. It's like, somebody turned on the lights and a light bulb went on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We should start charging. There's nothing but synchronicity in your exalted mood, in your foul mood. Pure synchronicity.
Can happen, my good mood, my bad mood.
What do you mean can happen? It's all this is. Get used to it. To be on the lookout for synchronicity amounts to the refusal that your present experience is nothing but synchronicity. To imagine that your experience is something other than synchronicity is referred to in some schools as samsara.
Right. We didn't get something we were expecting or imagining or wishing.
Look at it. When the day comes that your bioluminosity gets pinched out, what's your complaining going to be worth then?
What's this? My bioluminosity.
Where are you?
What happens to all of your explanations, all of your accomplishments, all of your complaining, all of your failed entitlements? What happens to them when you get pinched out? How important are they then? They're not worth doodle. But we think that they're worth a lot right now. I think that I'm worth a great deal right now. I'm not. And that the magic of sentience is not owned by you. But we can walk through the miracle of life complaining nonstop that all of my expectations and what's fair and true and righteous is not occurring. And I'm really angry and really disappointed in myself and everybody else 24/7 between now and the grave. And that's how we walk around.
Yeah. Unless shit's going your way, and then synchronicity.
That's right. And if some shit's going your way, then all of a sudden it's like, hot diggity dog. Put on the Pete Gabriel.
I like the synchronicity. It's very helpful for my blind canvas and everything appearing.
It's synchronicity.
Fair enough.
Sometimes you can be in a foul mood and have people all of a sudden...
Yes.
I was in a foul mood at the moment I found this information now. I might have elevated my mood from foul to
hang. Yeah, but nothing happened to you a moment before now. To report on it is just...
I'm reporting on the synchronicity, but I know it doesn't mean anything except to say that...
But you're mistaking synchronicity as being an event noticed by you. Right? You're mistaking synchronicity for being an event in the context of one's imaginary life being noticed by the likes of you. I'm not talking about that. This is nothing but synchronicity, your present consciousness, the profundity and radiant expression of this suchness can only be purely synchronous. Feel it. That's where you go. Because if you don't go there, and of course everyone's welcome not to go there, I mean, who am I to say anything about anything? Why be comfortably numb?
When you're at the dentist, it's a good idea.
Touché. The moment we become, we self-victimize as the products of temporality and self, we're miserable. And the best we can do is comfortably numb.
Yeah. That's hence addictions.
Yeah.
They're running rampant because there are lots of comfortably numb people out there. And even the legalized ones, like prescription, antidepressants, the whole gamut.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is none of them really work anymore. That's like kind of funny.
Prestige is a beautiful thing.
What is?
Prestige.
What the hell is that?
Antidepressant. I took it and I was literally singing it the next morning.
Got some?
They took
you got any?
It.
God
did
damn it.
It
was still working. So she was singing in bed. You should have kept that to yourself.
Yeah. But I didn't tell the doctor. I was like, I like this tachycardia too. Like,
yeah.
Energy.
Yeah.
Well, that is sort of an outside. Oh,
well.
When we report on the imagination of our life through the lens of circumstances and events, you're living in imagination. You're living in a virtuality. And that by living in virtual imagination, you are, by definition, if I can be so bold, profoundly unhappy. And you don't notice it because you've habituated to it since you were a so-called child.
It appears, but it seems as though if you are in that position, you can only lack.
You can only what?
Experience lacking when you're.
That's how you spell lack.
Right.
Also, it's once removed from.
Once or many.
Many.
Yeah.
And it's like there's.
And curiously not. Because the fantasy of oneself operating in space-time as a, you know, born entity inhabiting a corporeal sheath, though it's imagined, is not really thus encumbered.
So why would anyone attach themselves to an unsatisfactory cycle of lack and longing and
well put.
Not enough and
ask them
free from this one and that.
Ask them. Most likely you'll see that there's no awareness of it. They can't confess to you that they've done it. And or express why they've done it, because they don't know that they've done it or that it has occurred in their experience. No one does anything. We're looking at, right, the strange, mellifluous archetype of consciousness as if you could possibly do something and you can't. You know, as you work with a meditation group, right, at a certain level of play, you might see what gophers pop up. Right? Whack-a-mole. What moles might pop up that are now somehow curiously ready for a new challenge, for a new discovery, rather than remaining comfortably numb on the cushion. So it's good to have a meditation group where we can get quiet and be still, right? Suffer or enjoy the nuisance of mind. But have some relaxing downtime. That's fantastic. I mean, everyone's selling that. You know, Swami Ken is selling that, right? Thich Nhat Hanh is selling that, right? Everyone is selling, hey, sit on the cushion, man. Right? Work shit out.
It's easy, and you get to take naps.
And you can nap.
Nap anytime.
I notice nap.
Just don't snore or fall over.
Yeah.
Or fall over.
That's right. You can nod off.
You say, that was a really head samadhi. I'm sorry.
But what happens in your experience where all of the insight, all of the sincerity, the hard work and the calories burned on the cushion start to move into this question, the deeper question of the mechanics, the geometry, the curious nature of incarceration, of lack, of insufficiency? Someone has to be ready to be open enough to have that conversation, because it's going to disturb what they have created as they're comfortably numb up to this point. Right? Yeah. Most of us don't want to be disturbed out of comfortably numb. Unless, you know, it's the third DUI and I ran someone over. So maybe I have no choice then. Right?
But you got to be against the wall is your point. When you're against the wall, and you can be against the wall in a lot of different ways.
All day in and day out. Yeah. This serendipity is so generous with its time. It has you against the wall 24/7. The question is, do I shift from being joyfully mediocrely habituated to it, or do I respond with, right, some kind of gesture of intelligence, a gesture of discovery?
So you've used the word I, which becomes somewhat confusing. So it's, maybe it's only the I that doesn't experience it, right? And then it's the...
You can't particularize this with any satisfaction. There is no I.
That is comforting.
Okay.
It's what?
Yes.
Yeah, then it's off the table.
Well, you still have to talk.
Well, you do.
Only when there's a movie, but it's fine.
Yeah, as long as there's a movie. Yeah. There is no I. We feel this. Here's the suchness of your present experience. Bada boom. Where's the I? And if you find one, it's not that difficult to see that it's manufactured. It's been hauled in as a prefab.
It's one of those, like, presuppositions that are so, that you can't see it. Because it's so solid.
It's a trance.
You know?
This is a trance. We think that waking state, as contrasted with sleeping, dreaming, or deep sleep, is the shit. It's a trance. And all of our drama and entitlement and dissatisfaction occurs in a trance. Flailing about in a trance.
Having those drums like Phil Collins.
It's a red pill all the way.
You bet.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a red pill all the way.
That's right. And
curiously, there's nothing to do about that.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
There it is.
Well, let's say by releasing oneself with no resistance or justification to the presence of trance, you're out. You lift one finger to do something about it, you're in.
What if there's no self in that action? Or not?
There can't be. There can't be.
That sounds like surrender or acceptance. or powerlessness.
You can qualify it like that.
But all those things imply a doing, and you're not pointing to a doing.
No, seeing is not doing. If seeing is non-dual, it's non-doing. Because we're not creating an imaginary persona who does the seeing, who does the doing, who surrenders. Seeing implies the collapse of an I, or a separative, disparate, particular being occupying where you're sitting. Get used to it. Primarily, meaning only, this is being. The suchness is operating profoundly and personally. Non-dually, if we need to even go there. To talk about it as a blank canvas or a full canvas or an I or a not I or one who's doing or not doing are all, right, embellishments. Here's this, right? Is it embellished? Does it need to be embellished by the likes of you? No, it doesn't. That could be fun. Wow. I don't matter. Nothing that appears in my mind has any merit. The moment you become meritorious and therefore disturbed, you want to remedy the imagination that you have become meritorious. Don't become meritorious. Have no merit.
But that sounds like efforting right there. So it's
I'm not offering it as advice or something to do.
I know, you're playing with this loop of consciousness.
Well, by looking at the geometry of how you must first become sufficiently meritorious to suffer, right. Don't become meritorious. Don't become worth anything. Don't seek for esteem, recognition, being correct. Your intelligence is, or one's intelligence, or intelligence, not anthropomorphizing it, is a sharp, sharp razor. You can lop your own head off. But not by, a gesture of a sword, though that can come in handy in some time, right? That's it.
Or an option.
Right, that's an option, yeah. No, you lop your own head off by relaxing entirely from the imaginary impulse to occupy this in a meritorious manner. Go, village idiot. Rah, rah.
It's like go, village idiot, and watch yourself still seemingly doing what you're doing or not.
Don't even take yourself along for the ride. Who? Watch what? You see, right, you want to take yourself along for the ride to then occupy your imaginary experience from the preferred vantage point. Don't. Leave yourself at the curb. Then cross the street.
Then who's crossing the street?
You find out. This is the joy of it. It can't be effortful. Because if it's effortful, you remain meritorious.
It seems as though seeing does not require effort. So seeing is a good word.
Okay. Good word.
And in my mind, seeing requires not, you don't want to define and what's the word, dissect. Right? Because then that becomes an activity.
No, it's stranger than that. It's quicker than that. It's not there's no causal chain.
It's let it be seen, would be a better way to put it, right?
No, do nothing.
Let the scene be.
Don't do anything. Don't do anything. Don't give yourself any advice. Really. The moment you give yourself advice, you've become meritorious again. You've become durable.
Bad habit.
That is the habit. And we all have our charming ways of, right, expressing it.
There seems to be an inertia. I'll call it karmic inertia.
Sure, karmic inertia is sweet.
The questioning and the ponderables that the meeting worked on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems. Are still in knots.
Yeah.
That letting it go is
difficult. No, don't let anything go. There's nothing to let go. First, you create something, which means you've now established merit. Now, you create how difficult it is to let it go. But what there is to let go never existed in the first place. Nor do you, nor does the effort. How difficult is that? It can't even be done. Which makes it not difficult.
There's no getting away from it. This.
Nothing can be accomplished here by anyone. What's there to let go of? There's no difficulty any longer. Because you can't do anything anyway. But if you'd like, if you wish to occupy this present beatitude by finding merit, knock yourself out. This doesn't mind, does it? It's happy for you or itself to create an infinity of meritorious actions, meritorious deeds, and then a doer that applies him or herself to getting them done as soon as possible. Get a broomstick out of the closet, right? Jump on a piece of furniture and go chase windmills. With zest. You see how the imagination of free is always approached as an additive to self. Too late. You're too late. What happened to the serendipitous rock and roll?
Yeah, we just finished.
We're just at a segue. We ended on a segue.
It was right in time with what you were talking about. I was paying attention to it. So.
Okay. No, that. Well done.
So that broom thing, and then I was like, what?
What?
Where am I?
It's a man of La Mancha reference.
A whole bunch of words thrown together. So.
Yeah. Like a Harry Potter thing.
What?
Let's play.
What the hell is this guy talking about?
What is it? Twidditch?
Oh, yeah.
Harry Potter.
Quidditch.
Yeah, which people do play. Oh, okay.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
But they don't have rooms. They can fly on
fleets.
They have what?
Fleets.
They run with their broom.
Yeah.
I'm checking out on
YouTube.
Nice. That's almost better than the Washington Monument.
I would agree.
Well, we should go watch one for fun. We should have a Night Sky Song outing.
Another outing. I'm keeping a list. Quidditch, right? With a Q, Quidditch.
I think I would like to see that on YouTube.
I know.
It's on.
I want to see
that,
it.
I guarantee.
Come on, get a minute. You playing Twitter.
I think that we should play Quidditch at his place.
Okay.
BYOB, right?
BYOQ.
That would be.
Bring your own broom.
That'd be fun. We could do it around Halloween.
Why not? You can't remind yourself through mind to pay no attention to mind. Because the moment you remind yourself, you're in mind. You've created a meritorious self, individually existing, the consequence of events in the universe, and you're weary, irritable, you're in a foul mood because of the way you're feeling and thinking, the consequences, the apprehension, the tightness in the chest and the throat, maybe the anger, right? Who knows? The grief, a million wonderful things to feel here on our planet, as if there were one. But the moment you lift a finger to try to micromanage your present condition, you remain individuated in time, product of temporality. Your moods change, obviously, by themselves, right? I mean, we're sitting at a breakfast table, somewhat chill, but we've all been out of our minds with anger. But not now, so must have somehow resolved. And whatever it was that I was angry about, which felt like the most justifiable circumstances at the moment, I can't even recall.
So it's not necessarily working out.
You can't work anything out. No, there's no point in working anything out.
It's just seeing, just observing.
No. Don't bother. Why place yourself in it again? Leave yourself at the curb.
What is it when you're tangled up in blue?
Well, clearly when you're tangled up in blue, you know, you're tangled up in blue. A lot of good, all your, you know, intentions and efforts are going to be. They're not going to be of any use. All the, right, justifications and ameliorations or ways that we medicate our, right, discomforts, the waves of discomfort that may occur and do occur from day to day. None of the remedies that you've put in place have actually worked.
That can be really disturbing.
Very disturbing.
I mean, really, when you get to the bottom, you're just like, nothing is fucking working. Not even a little bit. It's just not, nothing.
Yeah, there's tremendous freedom there.
Well, it's amazing when you realize nothing works. You try to manage the outside, and that's no more manageable than the inside.
Well, you know, then you're a control freak, and no one likes you. And we're all good at it. Well, yeah, of course, and we're all good at it.
Well, you know, maybe seeing that being tangled up.
You do this, yeah. And I don't cooperate.
Really feeling.
Yeah, right, that too.
That sucks even more.
Ameliorates that issue.
Yes, but yes, of course, but there's no strategy. Don't deploy a strategy.
Well, yeah, and I'm
for your present.
I'm not suggesting that wasn't meant to suggest a strategy.
Yeah.
Just a way of being.
It's kind of like a field of gold. You're lying in a field of gold, even amidst our most unpleasant mood. presence does not particularize. Mind particularizes. But presence and mind are neither one exist, nor are they two different things. Because it's what? You can see how, right, how remarkably easy, effortlessly, this field of gold, this absolute freedom from all encumbrance, convinces itself that it's loaded with problems. That it has to do something about as soon as possible. Whether micro or macro managing the interior or the exterior. What's the matter? This field of gold's no good for you? Do you really have to fuck it up again? Really? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Seems that I do.
Yeah, of course. So, by having no merit, right? Placing no merit in yourself or in your present experience, you're no longer qualifying the full bandwidth of the miracle that's appearing in and as you.
Can you just do the mind stuff as like a game, a book?
No, it's not worth it. Because if you are viewing what's appearing in you as other than you, then you're creating, once again, the imagination of a durable self that wants to view things in the right way to ameliorate the impact. Yeah, yeah. So if amelioration is, right, on the ticket, you're screwed. You're too late. We do not survive awake. It is not an accoutrement of self. Radiance is all inclusive. And curiously, without any identification whatsoever. The presence of you is all-inclusive radiance, with no sign of identification anywhere. And it, the observance of it, the feeling of it, the availability, does not require strategies. It is not interested in accumulating strategies. Why is that? Because its presence is done. It's all done. The all-inclusive radiant reflection of your present experience is a completion. It does not need strategies for the imagination of future discomforts that it's going to deal with in a better way. Field of gold. You could say it requires a certain kind of maturity, which is spelled M-A-G-I-C, right? To be willing to sit, or stand, or lie down, or road rage, in the brilliance of you.
rather than falling under the opportunistic error of thinking that satisfaction is elsewhere. Shock your monkey. He'll fit nicely on the rotisserie. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
If he growls at you when you walk in, well, no way.
Yeah. It could be a useful reminder. Not that we're deploying reminders or strategies. As we become more acquainted with the fact of being, though it's no fact, it knows how to find its way back. It does. It knows how to find its way back from distraction, hypothetical, anecdotal, hysteria, imagination, the myth of space-time, and the myth of your being of the nature of a durable self. It knows how to find its way back.
It does seem like this suggestion or invitation is valuable in some way.
Sure.
Maybe that's what it is. Knowing how to find its way back.
Yes. Yeah.
It knows how to find its way back.
Yes.
But it's going to look different for each person.
Sure. Well, it's inexpressible. So even if we tried our best to try to share with each other the last time, as in right now, I remembered to find my way back to nothing. It's just, I don't know what to say. But
so like,
your experience is sovereign. That's the only experience that could possibly occur. There's no one here but you.
It's all about me.
Thankfully.
Oh, God.
I know, that's a little scary. All we ask is spare us the details. It's all about you, but keep it to yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Radiance going. Yes.
Things just take, you know, I find myself here, I find myself here. Like yesterday, for example, like I wanted to predict who was going to show up to this party, right?
Yes.
Who was going to show up and was going to show up, how the current events were. And no matter how much I tried to micromanage and macromanage that whole thing.
Yeah. It failed. You failed.
You know, I got that I wasn't going to micromanage that.
Sweet.
But,
right.
Yeah, still found myself.
Yes, you found yourself being you. Yes. We all do. Yeah, where are you going? Where's anyone going? You're going to find yourself being you.
So, like these events and things in my life, you know. Oh, I tried like the, you know, alcohol drug thing to ameliorate all this and move it out of the way.
We're proud of you.
For a time,
yes.
And then it turned against me. Then I like tried to push it, and I was experiencing lots of body pain, annoying it to.
That's why you sit on the cushion. Yes, starting with the one sitting on the cushion.
Well, I don't
do
that.
Oh, okay, so you wanted to add everybody in as a compassionate act.
What can I say? It has to be one of us that's left.
That's right. Well, not here.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, it's sort of like, if that's where the sort of God thing comes down.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we're all being spun in that direction anyway.
Everything's showing up right on cue. That's all you got.
So that is a plausible explanation.
Okay. Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to, you know, talk you out of any plausible explanation. And as we, like a cat, paws with, you know, as we paw with synchronicity, whack it around, right? You might see that there's nothing but. Everything is on cue. How could it be otherwise? How many parallel universes are you living in as a conscious simultaneity? Where you can see how a thousand things went a thousand different ways. I don't know, maybe there is some, you know, guy or woman in an orange robe on a cushion somewhere that is seeing, just as we're so-called seeing this, seeing countless parallel universes in which all the cues went in a million different directions. Sounds like LSD to me. So everything can only appear on cue, right on time. I can't do otherwise.
Is that a Q-tip?
That's a Q-tip. Tipping point. And nothing happened a moment before now, which, you know, is pretty easy to see.
Back to the cushion.
Yeah. Yeah, back to the cushion. I took a ride out to Long Island, yes, and my sister said, are you going to stop by? I said, sure, when are you going to be here? I don't know. I think we got there around 11 p.m. Something like that. Stayed till 1. Or got there earlier. Stayed till 1. Got home at 3:30 in the morning, this morning. Beach traffic from here to, you know, Plainview, Massapequa. The Long Island Expressway was moving 5 miles an hour. Took us over 4 hours to get there. It was a great day. You know, we took my dad for a walk down the hall. That was lovely. The nurse was kind enough to cover up his cute little bummy. As he was walking, he said, do you like what you see?
Does he have a good sense of humor like you, Jack? Or did you get that from my mom?
I think it was the imaginary friend that popped out right after that dog went away.
It's a lot like that. From moment to moment, you are seduced by a million bottles on the shore with messages in them. and you discover that it's possible not to open a single one. Just to try to take a peek.
I knew it was a problem with the bottle.
And all of a sudden, there's someone to save.